your Bibles today, the book of Acts. Book of Acts, chapter number 2 this morning. And we want to pick up in verse number 14. Then we'll skip down to verse 22 and read on down a few verses here this morning. Praise God. Acts chapter number 2, verse number 14. The Bible said, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice, said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, hearken to my words." Verse 22. "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken him by wicked hands, have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope." We could read some more, but we'll stop there this morning. Amen. Could you ask the Lord to anoint us here today to preach his word? Father, we need your touch this morning. We need the unction that comes from heaven. God, let the Holy Ghost stand by us today. Use us as a mouthpiece for your glory. Speak to each heart here this morning. Oh, we pray for this altar service, God, that you would have your way today. In Jesus' wonderful name, we're careful to give you the praise and all the glory today. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to look here today at the sermon that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. And I don't have time to read all of this today, but I want to look at this sermon and preach to us this morning the help of the Lord on the cross of Pentecost. The cross of Pentecost. The presidential inauguration, we are familiar with it in this country. It's a ceremony that formally introduces the president to the people who have elected him, have chosen him to be their leader for the term that he will hold. It began with George Washington in 1789. It will happen again, amen, shortly in this country. One of the key aspects of the inauguration ceremony is the president's inaugural address. And the New York Times published an interesting article some time ago that gave an analysis of the words that each president used most frequently in their speech. For George Washington, they said the word oath was used the most. And President Lincoln's second inaugural address, not surprisingly, it was the word war that most often left his lips. And also, revealingly, in 1937, FDR used the word government more than any other. Ronald Reagan did as well in 1981. Well, amen, a lot can be learned from the inaugural address. A lot can be learned from this inaugural sermon on the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2, we have this record, this sermon that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, the church. Amen. I like to think of the church as being officially introduced to the world. Amen. The church of Jesus Christ. Peter boldly preached this message, this first message of the church, if you will. Amen. Luke does not record the entire sermon for us. There's more than enough here to tell us what this sermon was about. The heart of the message, I believe, can be summed up in verse 36, where Peter said, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Hallelujah. Amen. We know that the years separate us from the event that we read about in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost filling the believers and the followers of Christ. Yet that same Savior that was preached on the day of Pentecost is the same Savior that we worship this morning. The same Savior that we preach today. It's the same Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. The same Lord. That same Spirit that was at work on the day of Pentecost is at work today. Amen. We're still a part of the church of Jesus Christ. Amen. That received the glory of God that day. I'm glad to be a part of that church. What about you? Amen. And what happened that day is still happening in the church. The moving of the Spirit, the moving of the Holy Ghost is still for the followers of the Lord today. Amen. When Peter stood that day as the Holy Ghost gave him the unction and the words began to flow forth, and God used him. Amen. It was a sermon, the sermon that he preached, the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. That he lifted up. Did not Jesus say, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Hallelujah. And Peter began to lift up Christ, and the sermon that he preached, it demanded the attention of that crowd. It got their attention. I tell you, when you preach Jesus and you preach the cross, it's going to garner the attention of the world. Some may not like it. Others will say, that's what I've looked for. But what this world needs today is the preaching of the cross. One preacher told about a friend of his that pastored a church. Said the church sat right next to a ball field. Amen. He said on a Sunday morning he arrived at the church to find there was a ball tournament that was being held that day. Said folks were already parking in the church lot. And this pastor told this friend of his, said what bothered him the most about that day was not that they didn't ask the church about having the tournament that day and parking there, but rather he said they didn't think about the church at all. He said we were irrelevant. Amen. There the ball tournament was all they focused on. Amen. They didn't even give thought to the fact the church would need the parking lot that morning. Amen. The world's mindset is not on the cross. It's not on eternity. It's not on Jesus. But oh, brother, when Peter stood that day and preached the cross and he preached Jesus, he got their attention. What the Holy Ghost was doing that day got the attention of that crowd, and that message could not be ignored. The church could not be ignored. The crowd at that Pentecost was compelled to hear what Peter had to say. Amen. The Spirit of God, amen, the Holy Ghost went before him. Amen. Did a work and did a moving that prepared the way for that message to enter into the hearts of the hearers. We need the moving of the Holy Ghost today to prepare hearts for what it is that the Spirit of God would say unto the church. Amen. Here all of these thousands of Jewish people had gathered. Amen. Observing this religious feast known as Pentecost. What these folks didn't realize is 120, amen, followers of Jesus had just been filled with the Holy Ghost. And what was fixing to take place, amen, would bring an interruption and would gather their hearts to hear the word of the Lord. This miracle of Pentecost was that these disciples of Jesus, amen, filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with the Spirit of God, were enabled to speak. Amen. In an unknown tongue and declare the works of the Lord. Amen. Oh, the wonderful works of God were proclaimed that day. Amen. In verse 12 it said, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? What's going on here? This is not normal. I tell you, I believe it's time. around the world. I see something besides the norm from the church. Amen. Oh, we can get in a rut. We can go through the motion. But what we need is an interruption of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That'll bring a message of Jesus Christ as the peace and the hope and all that the world needs to hear today. Well, they're drunk. That's the explanation. Peter said, these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. It's 9 a.m. What you're seeing and hearing is not strong drink, but what you're seeing and hearing and witnessing is the Holy Ghost. It's the Spirit of God. Amen. Oh, most of what goes on in our churches across America today are devoid of the power of God. That is the missing ingredient. Amen. We've got programs. We've got our formulas. But what we need is the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Oh, there ought to be something that sets us apart. Amen. It's different than just some local assembly or the Lions Club or some other group gathering together. What we need is a move of God that lets the world know there is a message that we have to proclaim. All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. As the old song says, all is vain without Him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Peter began to preach. Amen. The Spirit of God was working. And we see, amen, that because of the activity of the Spirit of God moving in the church, praise the Lord, even it gave way for the authority of Scripture to be expounded. And Peter begins to preach. He answered this crowd's question. Amen. He said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Amen. Peter began to quote a question, or a section rather, from the Old Testament prophecy of Joel. Amen. It was predicted that this would come to pass. It was foretold that this would happen. Hallelujah. He shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Amen. Oh, there's much that could be said here about Peter's interpretation of Joel, and I'll not get into that, but what it means for us today, amen, and what it means for us living in what must be the last of the last day, amen, there's something else for us to see. Amen. He used the authority of Scripture. Amen. He was calling them and calling to them to recognize that what they were witnessing was a literal fulfillment of what God said in His Word. He'll be true to His Word. He'll do what He has said. He will fulfill what He has declared. And yet when the world, amen, looks at the church today, amen, we find little correlation between what we see in the church and what we see in the Word of God. But Peter let us know what the world was witnessing on the day of Pentecost. It matched up with what God had already declared through the prophet Joel. It will come to pass. I tell you, let's line up with the book and let God have His way. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. The world looks at the church too many times and sees hypocrites instead of holy people. Amen. Contention instead of compassion. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Let them see the true. Let them see the genuine. Oh, praise God. Amen. The authority of the Word. Amen. Oh, praise God. We need it this morning, don't we? It should be today that when we preach the word of God, the authority of that word is validated by the evidence of its power upon our lives. Amen. Vance Havner once said, we're not going to move the world by criticism of it, nor conformity to it. Amen. But by combustion within it, of lives ignited by the Spirit of God. I believe that conformity will get us nowhere. Amen. Contention alone will get us nowhere. But if we'll get on fire with God and on fire in Him, then the fire of the Holy Ghost can cause the message we preach to burn its way, amen, into the hearts and lives of men and women that are looking for somebody who has the message, who needs to hear the word of God. The crowd that day felt they had to listen to what this preacher said. Amen. Because the message was compelling. And the evidence that they seen among God's people was that God's favor was upon them. Peter began to preach. He describes the account of the cross. I'm preaching this morning on the cross of Pentecost. Amen. He describes the cross of Jesus Christ. He begins to preach the truth to this people. It was only a few weeks before, amen, the day of Pentecost, that this same, amen, many of these same folks in this crowd had stood outside of Jerusalem and watched three men being nailed to Roman crosses and executed for their declared crimes. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. And Peter preached to them and reminded them that of the three, there was one that hung on that middle cross. Amen. Who was not executed. His death was more than just another execution. No, his death, amen, what transpired at Calvary, amen, was in the plan of God. Peter let him know, you thought you was in control. You thought you was in charge when you hung him on the cross. But it was in the plan of God from the very foundation of the world. He was the lamb slain. Amen. He was not executed, but he hung on Calvary willingly, shedding blood. Amen. To be the propitiation and the atonement for the sin of the world. I'm going to tell you, even on the day of Pentecost, amen, the Holy Ghost bore witness to what Jesus did on Calvary. Did not Jesus say when the Holy Ghost comes, he's not going to speak of himself, but he's going to give glory to my name. Amen. I tell you, when the Holy Ghost really gets to work it in the church, the message of the cross will be preached. The atonement will be presented to hearts that need salvation. Hallelujah. He began to preach the cross. Glory. Glory. Amen. What a bloodstained truth that stands at the forefront of the gospel, that it is the plan of God. Hallelujah. Oh, Peter said, amen, finished his quotation of Joel in verse 21, and he said, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Who is the Lord that they're to call on? Peter's pointed the attention of the crowd to Jesus, and he said, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him. Amen. In the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, you were there. You witnessed what he went through. You've seen it all. I'm taking you back. And Peter reminded them, this is the same Jesus that I'm preaching about. It's the same Savior who is Lord and Christ today. They had turned against him, but Peter declared that the unusual power of his life was a clear testament from God regarding the uniqueness of his life. Hallelujah. I think Peter reminds us that when we preach Jesus to this lost world, We must not shy away from the truth of Calvary. And the truth of Calvary is this, that every one of us is responsible for putting him on that cross. Hallelujah. We're confronted by the cross today. We're confronted by Calvary today. Hallelujah. Amen. Today, oh, many churches pull people in. Amen. Smooth over things. And I tell you, the cross deals with us, don't it? Amen. What we're interested in is reaching people and seeing them changed by the power of God. Amen. I tell you, it's wonderful to see what Bethany has done in reaching out to folks. And I tell you, it's the cross that your pastor preaches every morning that'll bring about that change. As it confronts sin, amen, it's deliverance through Calvary, deliverance from alcohol, deliverance from drugs. Only God can bring that deliverance. Now, I shared with your pastor, Brother Darrell, the other day. We had in our church, we were pastoring. Amen, we were there almost 7 years, loved those people. Amen, loved the work of God. There, amen. And we had a lady that came in her 40s there to the church, and she got saved. God did a work in her life, changed her, turned her out. Hallelujah. Amen. She had 3 DUIs. Amen. Bondages and things in her life. The devil had some strongholds there. But we watched her. Amen. One service. She's coming a few services there. In one service, somebody was singing, and I saw, and I love it when the Lord does this. Amen, Brother Jeff. I saw the Holy Ghost overwhelm her standing right there in the pew. We hadn't really seen anything out of her as far as praying, seeking God. She just kind of coming. But the Holy Ghost overwhelmed her. Amen. She began to cry. She began to shake. Amen. And weep uncontrollably. And God made a change in her life. Amen. She began to lay things aside. I didn't have to preach it. The Holy Ghost just began to do the work. Amen. I'm telling you, the cross, the power of God, it will change the lives of men and women. Let them be confronted by it. Let the cross, amen, stand before us, and let it stand before the world that they can see there is a better life. There's a better life. You remember Jesus? Peter said, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. And I want you to know, it was not your hands alone, but by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. God looked down through the eons of time and said, there's somebody that needs to be saved. There's somebody that needs to be covered in the blood. There's somebody that needs a life-changing experience. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. He's still in the business of saving people this morning. He's still in the business of changing hearts today. He's still in the business of turning lives around. Oh, hallelujah. He was not the victim of a Jewish mob. He was not a helpless prisoner of Rome, of Caesar's legions and of Rome. What took place at Calvary was planned in eternity. The cross was not plan B. The cross was God's plan from the beginning. Hallelujah. Yeah. Calvary was not a second thought in the mind of God. No, sir. I'm going to tell you, he'd been from the beginning of time. He said, I'm going to procure to myself a people. I'm going to change their hearts and lives. If they'll call on me, whosoever will call shall be saved. Hallelujah. Oh, brother, I'm going to tell you something. In the very beginning, amen, of creation, Amen. God took nothing and he made something out of it. Took the dust of the ground and formed man. Amen. And breathed into him. And he became a living soul. But at Calvary, amen, to redeem man, it cost him everything. I said it cost him everything. Amen. As the Son of God hung upon the cross and gave his life, he paid the ultimate price that you and I could be saved, that we could sit here on a Sunday morning, lift our hands and give him praise and give him glory. Could you do that this morning? Stand to your feet, lift up your hands, give him a praise here today. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. What's he done in your life? How's he changed you? Oh, he's made a difference in us. Oh, God poured out his wrath upon his son as he hung upon Calvary so that you and I could have salvation, so that you and I could be saved today. Even I'm telling you, we have all been co-conspirators in the death of Christ. Every sin you've committed, every lie you've told, everything you've done displeasing to God. But oh, thank God for mercy. And even while Peter took these folks back and reminded them of the crime of Calvary, he let them know, if you'll call upon him, you can be saved. You can find mercy. I tell you, there's mercy for somebody today. Maybe there's somebody in this congregation, as somebody gets us a song. Maybe there's somebody in this congregation this morning. Amen. And your sin has been confronted by the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. Today stands before you, not only indicting you, amen, not only speaking to you of sin, but also letting you know it's a place of grace and mercy today. Thank God for hope. Thank God for hope. Peter said that same one you put on the cross, he rose from the grave. And the very reason why you've experienced and you've witnessed what's happened here on the day of Pentecost is evidence to the fact that he rose. Glory to God. So that every man can rise into a new life and a new hope. He's been out of death, out of sin, oh, into the experience that God wants to give every man and every woman today. Amen. He's the answer. He's the answer. Oh, God hath raised him up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. I tell you, sin don't have to have its hold on you this morning. Death doesn't have to have its hold on you today. You can find grace and mercy in Jesus Christ while they sing, play as they will. Amen. These altars are open here this morning. You need hope. You need healing. There's healing in Jesus this morning. Hallelujah. There's hope in the Lord today. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. There's a truth to accept. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you've crucified, both Lord and Christ. He wants to be Lord of your life today. He wants to be Lord of your life this morning. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. Amen. The cross stands today, beckoning and calling, dealing with our hearts. Amen. We can have it all this morning. I dealt with a man in my church when I was pastor, and it came. I went to get him, brought him to church. Several services. Amen. He wouldn't come to the altar. He wouldn't pray. He wouldn't seek God. Sat in service after service. Just stubborn. Could have had it all. Amen. Father, quit coming. Got offended over something very minute, very, very innocent. Quit coming to church. They told me one Sunday morning we got to the church house. They said Friday. Said so-and-so was diagnosed with cancer. That morning he come in the church house. Later in that service. Amen. I preached, Brother Dickey. I preached and I pled and I called to him through the gospel. Brother Kenny wouldn't come. He wouldn't pray. Amen. He kind of knelt there at his pew, but it was, he didn't really pray like I would have liked to have seen him pray. Amen. That Friday that he had been diagnosed with cancer, that Sunday morning he was in church. The next Sunday, he wasn't there. Or he was there that Sunday morning. Wasn't there that Sunday morning. They called us. Trying to recollect what happened. They called us and told us that he's went into the hospital. What I vividly remember is the events of that evening. Called us and said he's at the hospital. Very sick. It's been a week since he was in church. That night, amen, that man went into eternity. A week and 2 days from being diagnosed with cancer, he was gone. Gone. We don't know when our hour is going to come. We don't know when the time of our departure will be at hand. But one thing we know, if there's breath in the body, he said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It might be a feeble plea this morning, but bring that feeble plea to Jesus and say, Lord, I need hope. I need help. Praise God. Oh, you don't have to put it off. But this could be a life-changing service right here today. Amen. If you'll but come. I tell you what I want us to do this morning. I want the church to come. As you come. Amen, church. Praise God. Oh, maybe there's somebody who wants to come with you today.